Thank you for being here today. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. I think Priscilla said that earlier, but it is great to be gathered together with other believers in Christ. Thank you, worship team. Pastor John and Kim had sent me a text. They received all your cards, and they were very grateful for them. It brought a lot of great joy to their hearts and lives, so thank you for being a part of that. I sent out a big box full, and he texted me as soon as he received it, I think, so... That's great, but we've been going through a talk that I've called What Jesus Did, and basically it's the miracles of Jesus, and looking at them and looking at his response and to people and the people's response to him, and so this week I've titled it, if you will, that Jesus inspires us to only believe in him. Jesus is inspiring us to believe only in him. And so if you remember, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the guy who was paralyzed, and he had some good buddies. And those good buddies hauled him on the stretcher over and found out where Jesus was and ripped the literal roof off the place and lowered him right in front of Jesus. And he healed him. And remember I said it's like those people that said the crowd was so thick they couldn't get in, but when he was healed and he jumped up, sprang up to his feet, it said, and walked out of there. It was an amazing occurrence, an amazing healing that had taken place. So you see a picture there that all the friends that this guy had took him to Jesus, and he received a healing. Today I want to look at Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56, where we see a woman with an issue, and we see a father with a child who has seemingly died. In Luke chapter 8, let's start with verse 40. We'll read through it, and then we'll come back and look at it again. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. So word got on the other side of the Sea of Galilee that Jesus was coming. And so they were excited, of course, that Jesus would show up in their town, in their area. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at the Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me because I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking to her, a messenger from the home of Jairus arrived. And the leader of the synagogue, he told Jesus, told Jairus, "Your daughter's dead. There's no use in troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith, and she will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, "Stop weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew that she had died. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment her life returned and she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they do not tell anyone what had happened. And so you see and you hear the story, and it's back in the top of your remembrance now. And Jesus has gone across the Sea of Galilee, and of course, as I said, people were overwhelmed with joy that Jesus was coming to my town. And so they were waiting for him. I don't know if they got a text message over there or how somebody got the message or they saw it on Facebook or what, but Jesus was coming and they somehow knew that he was working his way across the lake to their little town. And so there was a man that was there who was a leader of a Jewish congregation that as soon as Jesus came out, he fell to his face at Jesus' feet, which is a beautiful picture of respect and worship. And, you know, when we gather together as a congregation, as a whole, if you place yourself mentally, as we were saying a little bit ago, to humbly place yourself at the feet of Jesus. Remember when we talked about communion, that Paul was writing to Corinthians and said, hey, there's a reason why there's a lot of you sick and dying? Basically because they were not respecting, they didn't have the right attitude as how they approached Jesus. They weren't even asking for a healing. So no wonder you're not healed. You're not even asking. This great soldier fell on his face. And all of his swords and everything dangling around, he got himself down to the feet of Jesus and said, my daughter's dying. He deliberately begged him to come and to heal his child. And so Jesus begins to go with him to his house. And of course, there's already a large crowd awaiting, and Jesus is walking to this man's house. There's this woman who has an issue of blood, whatever. A woman with an issue and a guy with an issue. We all have issues, right? There's something. Just look at it as like this. There is something that we know for 12 years that this woman has had going on. There's something in our lives that's been going on for 12, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 80 years that's just an issue. But she's had it. She can go no further because she spent every dime she has. She's gone to every healer she knows, every doctor she knows. She has no money left. And she has to get to this person who calls themselves the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, because he heals. And so she's ill. So she's probably weak. The mob, the crowd that is around Jesus, somehow she makes her way through, pushing through, pressing through. Remember, these guys in this stretcher carrying a guy couldn't even force their way. All those men couldn't plow through a crowd to get to Jesus. Now you have this sick lady who's pushing herself to just get close enough to Jesus. As she's going and she comes up upon him, she's pressing through the crowd. And, you know, a lot of times the Jews back then would wear a prayer shawl. And it's like we would call a scarf maybe or something. You guys know what they are. They go around you and they hang down and they have tassels. And it's said that the tassels represent all the promises of God. And so maybe Jesus had on a prayer shawl. A lot of times they'd put it over their head and with privacy and prayer. They, you know, use it for pillows because they slept outside, all kinds of things. But all she felt like she had to do was get to Jesus. And what happened was as she got to Jesus, she just touched the tassels on the bottom of his clothing, of his prayer shawl, if you will. And Jesus stops and said, whoa, somebody just touched me. Somebody just touched me. Now, I love the same reading of this in Mark 9:21. It says that this woman with the issue said to herself, if I may but only touch his garment, I shall be made whole. She said within herself, and I think it's phenomenal that the scripture records what she was thinking in her mind. She thought in her mind, her mindset was, if I can only, but one thing I need to do, and I will receive a healing. Just one thing alone, one focus, one precisely one thing I need to do, and I'll receive my healing. If only I can touch his garment, I believe, only believe, then I will be healed. That was her mindset. If I can just get to the Messiah and only touch the fringe of his garment, I can be healed. And she did. And Jesus stopped and said, somebody touched me. Now Peter, of course, is the one who always says something. And Jesus, come on now, like all these people, somebody touched you and you're going to want to know who? And Jesus is like, no. Somebody touched me because I felt the healing virtue flow through me into her life. Peter, don't you remember when you had enough faith that you jumped out of that boat and walked all the way across to me? Somebody like you, Peter, that had enough faith just touched me. Peter's like, oh, that's right. Now I remember. But I think that side conversation probably happens with Peter later. Peter, or maybe right there, come on. Somebody touched me like you did when you got out of your boat and walked over there. Somebody touched me. Who was it? And this poor lady just trembling, comes up to him and says, it was me. Now, Jesus already knew the answer to his question. He just wanted to acknowledge her and, of course, help people's unbelief. Because remember, you have the Jewish guy, Joseph, the carpenter, son, here, telling everybody in town that he's the Messiah, the anointed one. There's a lot of unbelief. So, you know, it's kind of like who gets the reward, and this, I'm just having fun now, for believing the best? Those who were there to see Jesus live and literally, or us who don't see Jesus live and literally and just believe? Yeah, but he was just the carpenter's son. But they got to see literally, but still unbelief. But well, here we are today. We have all the recordings. We have the truth, the feeling, the heart, the spirit. And so it's like a balance, you know? So that's what's so awesome about the Word is you had a literal human being that was the Messiah and people couldn't believe, but now you have those who are seeing and without seeing believe. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, you see things and you believe things without seeing it. Kudos to all of you for believing and having faith. Like, really, kudos to all of you who are believing and having faith. So many in the crowd, but Jesus was the living Word literally in front of them and with them. Today, many crowd around the Bible, the written Word of God, but only some actually touch the Scriptures in faith and really truly receive the promises and walk out and act in faith and belief from, with those promises. When the woman realized that she couldn't hide any longer, she came and was trembling and fell then before Jesus' feet, and the entire crowd declared. And she said, I was the one that touched you. And of course, Jesus knew that she was the one that touched him. And so if you look at Psalms 133, this is a beautiful psalm that that talks about, and I referred earlier to the robe of Jesus. In Psalms 133, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity or harmony. What is it that brings about unity in a body, in a community of believers? There's one faith, right? One God, but it is a spirit. One Spirit is His Spirit. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unifies believers together. And how wonderful it is, how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters gather together and live in unity and harmony. For harmony, unity is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head that ran down his beard onto the border of his robe. Unity and harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls from the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord has pronounced His blessing, even life everlasting. So right as Jesus is talking to this lady and He's responding to the lady that he felt the healing virtue go through, he's distracted by someone from Jairus' house that comes and said, hey, Jairus, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter has died. She's already passed on. Jesus, knowing and hearing what was said to Jairus, Jesus' response to Jairus is, don't yield to your fear, but have faith in me, and she will live again. The King James says, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Believe only in me, is what he's saying. Believe only, and she will be made whole. She will live again. We believe. We have faith. But we also have fear, worry, anxiety. This soldier fell at the feet of Jesus, had the belief, if you just come, my daughter will be healed. He was distracted by an update news from his home that came and said, too late. It's over. Worry, doubt just floods his mind. Fear grabbed hold of his heart and his emotions and started ripping Jairus' heart. And put yourself in this place with today, your circumstances that you face, challenges at work, or whatever it is, how when our minds allow the fear to come in, or someone actually adds to it, or we read junk online or whatever it is, and just garbage in, more fear, more worry, more anxiety. Jesus is saying, fear not. Fear is to be seized with an alarm. To be seized with alarm. To be struck with doubt. And it actually goes as far as to cause to flee, moving your thoughts to another source. When you start to fear, your thoughts begin to move to another source. That's what this original Greek pulls out here. So his thoughts were now removing from Jesus the healer to whatever. There's no hope. She's dead. She's gone. I got a funeral. Oh my gosh, my daughter. You follow me? What is it in our lives that make that shift to move your thoughts to a different source than rather than only believing in him? Fear is also to be agitated with instability, an agitation, a current, constant agitation of instability in our hearts and in our minds. And Jesus says, fear not. No, none. None distraction, no moving your thoughts to another source. No, none, not one, other, only, singly, but one, precisely, continue to be persuaded and place your confidence in me, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the healer. So don't yield to your faith, but have faith in me. We see again in Matthew 8, verses 5 to 10, that Jesus heals a centurion's servant. Jesus came to the city of Capernaum. A captain of the army came to Jesus and was asking for his help because his servant was sick in bed. He is not able to move his body. He is in much pain. Jesus said to the captain, I will come and I will heal him. The captain said, Lord, I am not good enough for you to come to my house. Only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. This is a centurion, a Roman soldier. He comes to Jesus and he says, you don't even have to come to my house, Lord. If you will only speak your word, I believe my attitude and my mindset is that he'll just automatically be healed. Here's what's pretty cool, because the soldier says, listen, he goes on to say to Jesus, listen, only say the word and my servant will be healed. And the soldier says, because I am a man who works for someone else and I have men who work underneath of me. And when I say to a man, go, he goes. And if I say to another one, come, he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does that. This soldier understood the power of the word with authority of as he says something, go, come, do, boom, boom, boom. That's just a earthly military setup, if you will. They were that obedient. They had that much faith. They had that much servanthood to the soldiers. And this soldier saying, Jesus, all you have to do is say it because I work under this every day. I know how it works. You say, it happens. They go, they come, they do. I know exactly what you're saying. Jesus, all you have to do is only speak the word. And when Jesus heard this, he was surprised and in wonderment about it. And Jesus said to those who followed him, for sure, I tell you, I have not found so much faith in the whole Jewish nation as I did in this one man right here. Isn't that cool? I thought that was awesome. We too, right, can have that faith, have that belief only in him that we pray the word. We speak, we gather together in harmony with one spirit, gathering together, believing for challenges that people are facing, and we lay hands on them, we pray for them, we fast and on their behalf, and that's what's the power of a community. That's what's the power of a church and individuals as we walk in our life with Christ. Has anybody ever read the book, The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson? Probably nobody's even ever heard of it. Anybody? Fantastic book. Talks about, I think, seven different areas of your life to just do something in those seven areas a little bit every single day, and you will just, it just transform your life a little bit every day, like exercise, spiritually, you know, all those things. Well, in this, Jeff Olson has what he calls the momentum theorem. And the guys have this on the screen. They'll pull it up. It's the momentum theorem. It's focused intensity over time multiplied by God equals unstoppable momentum. So think about this. And this is a Christian book. Get it. Read it. It talks all about Jesus. And remember, I'm saying that it's a mindset. It's a thinking. Fear starts to transition your thoughts to something else. So if I can have a focused intensity, focused, intently focused on Jesus Christ, only believe, to be persuaded, to have confidence in him. It's a mere acknowledgement of a sense of a fact of everything gets run through Jesus. Everything weighs on Jesus. My mindset is a focused intensity. Over time, every day, every moment of every day, constantly, daily. Daily, I'm focused with an intensity of God. Focused intensity over time multiplied by God. Or we can say that our little parentheses mean only God, right? OG, only God. Focused intensity over time. This time is my lifetime, my walk with Christ all the time. And I multiply this. I include God in this. What this does in my life is begin to create a momentum, be able to create multiplication, be able to create when that fear, when that doubt comes, my focus is so intense. Oh, it's going to come. Maybe news from your house, from your spouse, from coworkers, from children, from media, from where, right? It's going to come. The doubt's going to come. But because of all the time and my focused intensity with God, I'll have such a greater momentum in my life with Christ where every time this doubt comes, if this is my focused intensity getting it out the door, every time it comes, it doesn't persuade me out of intensity, out of focus, out of belief, and I have to drag myself back to, oh, that's right, I got a belief, greater faith, right? Mindset, thinking patterns, new thinking patterns in our minds, replacing thoughts of doubt with promises of God. Having confidence in the living Word, the living Scriptures. Touching the Scriptures, as it said, a focus with purpose. I believe that as we're focused like this in our life with Christ, in our mind, will, and emotions, there comes a supernatural peace in overcoming of the things in this world. Does that make sense? As I am solely focused in God, and my belief and my trust grow greater in Him, all these things around us, all of these distractions around us, all the fear that comes our way, the grasp that fear tries to get on your heart, is surpassed in my soul, my mind, my emotions, my will, what I do, is surpassed and overflowed with peace, understanding, wisdom from God, which is momentum. That I'm able to keep walking in belief and trust and faith in God. It is a nourishment for our souls. In Mark chapter 9, verse 14, the disciples were unable to cast a demon out of a child. Mark 9:14. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with the disciples. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. Jesus is like, "What are you all arguing about over here?" One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit. They won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him into violence to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy to Jesus. When the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child in violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. Jesus says to the father's boy, "How long has this been happening?" And the father's boy said, "Well, since he was a little boy, the spirit throws him into the fire or into the water and tries to kill him. Please have mercy on us and help us, Jesus, if you can." And Jesus says, "What the world are you saying, if I can? Do you know who you're talking to, sir? What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus says to this dude, "Hold on a second. The disciples couldn't do it. You brought the boy in the presence of me. He's already convulsing. The demon inside of him is already convulsing. And you're saying, well, help us if you can? But look at this." And Jesus says, "Well, anything's possible if a person believes." And this father found himself, and he instantly cried out, "Jesus, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Help me overcome my weakness of faith." And when Jesus saw that the crowd and the onlookers were growing, more and more people were coming, he immediately rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and to speak. Jesus said, "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy in another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. The murmuring ran through the crowd and said, "Well, now he's dead." And Jesus took him by the hand, helped him up his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they said, "Hey, Jesus, we got a question for you. Why couldn't we do that?" And the Living Bible says, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer." King James says, "By prayer and fasting." And so, this kind, to me, is he talking about the evil spirit? Yes. But I also believe he's talking there and referring to unbelief. Guys, it's believing, sincerely believing. It's a focused, intense believing only. The only way this child can be released is through me, the Messiah. I am the Mighty One, the Healer. But I love that the Father was humble enough to say, Lord, okay, I'm starting to believe, but Lord, please help me. Help me with my unbelief. That's a good prayer to pray right there every day. Lord, I believe in you. I'm trying to stay focused. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to stay focused. I'm trying just to make it through the day, Lord. Help my unbelief. I just need your strength, your encouragement. Father, take away the fear. We sang about it. You would lose the grasp of fear. The fear's grasp will be dropped from your lives. This is a great closing scripture here. Romans 4, verse 20. Romans 4, verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. In fact, Abraham's faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. How do you bring glory to God? Faith grew stronger equals brought more glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever. Whatever he promises, whatever God promised, Abraham was fully convinced, faith, belief, that he could do it. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted it to him as righteousness. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too. So how is this applicable to us today? Well, it was recorded for our benefit too. What are you talking about? Well, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in Him. Believe in who? The one who raised Jesus, our Lord, Lord over your life, Savior. That's what it's saying. You recognize Him as Lord, Lord over your life, Savior, from the dead. Back to verse 24. It was recorded for our benefit also, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in Him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die. Why? Because of my sins. And He was raised to life. Why? To make us right with God. Right with God. Why? Because He made me just as if I've never sinned. Justification. Why? To make me right with God. Righteousness. To be in right standing with God. You believe who? Lord, Lord of my life. You have every right to enter into the throne room of God. Every right. Every right to enter into the throne room of God because you are as if you've never sinned. Just as if I've never sinned because of Jesus. Because of your belief in Him. Way to go! Good for you! Yeah, that's an awesome benefit. Let's let off balloons after church. This is incredible. You and me, we have this available to us. I have been made just as if I've never sinned. I have been made to be in right standing with God. Why? Because I only believed. That's not the end of the story. Keep going. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, how have you been made right in God's sight? Well, by believing, by faith, we have peace with God. Remember how I said that as we believe, it's like supernaturally, like I can't do it on my own. I just have a peace that passes all understanding. Somehow, I can walk through this crazy world and still have a peace with God. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us, for me. Because, why? Because of my belief and my faith in Him. Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we stand there confidently, focused, intently, believing over time with God, having a momentum, and joyfully. Yeah, you can do this with joy. Smile, you old sour Christians. Somebody, please smile back at me, right? Yeah, like this world's nuts. If you just smile at somebody nowadays, I'm like, he's cuckoo, right? Smile, joy. You have joy in all these good things. It's undeserved, but confident, joyfully looking to share. Share in the glory of God. Hey, we can rejoice too. I didn't say that. It says right here in verse 3, we too can rejoice when we run into problems and trials and when things get tough. You can still rejoice. Why? Because we know that they help us develop endurance. What helps us develop endurance? Trials help us develop endurance. And endurance actually develops a strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope, belief, trust, faith in the salvation of the Lord. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. There is no disappointment in Christ. For we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, to fill our hearts with his love. When we were truly utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us as sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for you and I by sending his Son, Christ, to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight, just as if we've never sinned, righteousness, and been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your rich word, your powerful word. Father, we thank you and I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's represented here this morning that believes in you as Lord of their life, Savior, that you are the very Son of the living God, that you came through death, burial, and resurrection, through your blood, through your sacrifice, Jesus, we may enter the throne room boldly. Thank you, Lord, that we may daily enter the throne room. We don't have to gather together as a community of believers, but we do because it is good. And we can because we join together in one spirit, harmony, and unity. And as we do, we can believe and help one another in faith and build one another's faith, just like all the guy's buddies took him to Jesus and put him in front of Jesus' feet through tearing off the roof to be healed. We see a lady who had an issue. We see people with issues, and they just have to get themselves to the feet of Jesus Christ. Nobody can do it for them. They have to do it on their own. Lord, if there's anybody here today that's struggling with something, Lord, it might be an issue where they've got to get themselves to the feet of Jesus. And as they get there, they can touch your promise, and it is a yea and amen, and it is confirmed. And they can be touched and set free and delivered from whatever the issue is. And then, Father, we saw a son who came on behalf of a child who was distracted with great fear, who had things come about him. He was standing before the very living God, the Word, Jesus Christ, and distraction came right in the middle and said, forget it. Don't bother the master. Your daughter has died. But Jesus' words are, fear not. Don't let that persuade you into a different way of believing, but stay focused only in God. Your daughter will be healed. And she was, as Jesus raised her up. Thank you, Father, for those who go in our behalf and help us to learn more of you, to be one who comes alongside and plants a seed or waters a seed or leads one closer to you, whether it's for healing, salvation, deliverance, whatever it may be. Thank you, Father. And then, Lord, we have and we see the centurion who's desperate, started to believe. He did believe, but then he said, Father, I have some unbelief. Can you help me? And Lord, we sit here today saying, Lord, help our unbelief. Father, we believe in you. We're marching forward the best that we can, but Father, help our unbelief. And we saw that he did, and he does. Lord, I just pray that this simple little, what's called a momentum theorem, focused intensity on you over time, every day, daily, with God being multiplied in it, gives us the strength, the momentum to press forward, to press in to you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for letting us enter into the throne room, bow ourselves humbly at your feet and worship you and honor you, and that we can be like a sponge and receive and absorb your love and bask in your presence. You're a great, great God. Lord, we worship you. We thank you. May we smile at people this week like we have the joy of Jesus in our hearts, because we do. Thank you, Father, for those that you put in our path this week, that we can speak and give glory unto you and spread your good news. Father, I just pray that you bless each and every person here this morning. Bless them. Keep them. May your face and your favor shine upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here today.